It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous. Panini yep. Pete Foundation. Yeah.
And be back and be back soon enough, Ed's Seafood Shed. Or not oh, yes. soon enough, I guess.
Let's it'll be out. Back, I think, from what they were back. Telling about, like, probably January.
Yeah.
And it'll be located first. In Spanish Fort.
Yep. Yep. That'd be neat to have them back for sure.
Oh, that. Yeah.
And fire on the causeway.
Yeah, so. Fire on the causeway. And the new orange juice squeeze restaurant is, I think, now open at the, what do you call it? Oh, the, what's the New Orleans market?
Yeah, the new thing downtown.
Yeah, over in Fairhope, yeah. Where Panini Pete's at, it's in that that restaurant area there. Same place, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a
French market.
The French market.
There. Right.
There you go.
I had to get the right hard drive and the right computer here to find that word. Sometimes I have trouble finding the right hard drive to get off the shelf to put in the computer
that's
there.
Right. Well, you know, that's it happens.
It's called AGE.
Yeah. I tell you, it's never in the battle. I'm sitting here. I was there at the shop earlier today, and we were talking about something, and it was just I couldn't come up with the word I needed. You know, I knew exactly what I wanted, but
it's gonna get worse.
I just couldn't find it.
You know? It's gonna get worse, big brother.
Finally got there, but one of them things.
Well, we're gonna talk about some cars here at the while, but let's talk about some race cars here for just a few minutes. You guys going to race down at MIS this weekend?
We're racing the Presser Brothers Outlaw this
all
weekend
right,
with
right.
JJ Day, and the McCarran Services Pro Truck with Jerry Goff. We're racing both vehicles this weekend, and hoping to do well. We had a pretty good season so far. We won both of our races with Outlaw that we run this year in Mobile, and we've won three of the four we run with the truck and finished second in the other one. So,
all right.
Can't really complain too much.
No, you can't. No, so, not when you're running up front like that.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll continue that trend this coming weekend. Try and bring home a couple trophies.
There you go, big guy.
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, it sure ain't about bringing home money. So I mean, you got to bring trophies home. So
racing is not a money making.
It's not a money making. I don't. You know, people may think that we're racing for a bunch of money, but no.
That's not the way this works. NASCAR racing is not either. They don't run for money. They spend money to run.
Exactly. Yeah, they manage to get sponsors to help them foot the bill and they get to make their money that way. And it's, it's all good. I mean, that's what keeps the sport going and keeps it on TV and all that kind of thing. So it's a good deal. I mean, it's a good deal. And they've actually figured out that having, you know, a sponsor on the side of a car does help that business.
It does.
Hendrick, you know, his HendrickCars.com on the side of Kyle Larson's car was a necessity last year. This year they put it on there because it brought in, it. I don't remember if it said it doubled his business or awful close to it from the where it was on there last year.
So really?
They decided, you know, this is money well spent, so I think we'll just keep it on there. So, yeah, it worked
out. Well, the thing about
it
is with the TV now and the TV programs and the amount of air times that's out there, for every, I think it's every second or 10 seconds that advertising is on that TV screen, it's they have a money figure compiled for that.
Right.
And so every time it's that number or that car is seen on TV and for how long it is, then they put a dollar value on that. And at the end of the race, they can tell you, well, he got 2,000 or 200,000 or or he got $1 million worth of advertising or
right.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that in other words, if you bought the commercials mm-hmm. for the same amount of time,
that's what it would cost
you. That's where they apply those figures at.
Right, so. Right.
So they know what kind of money they're advertising they're getting.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and you can do it two ways. You can either run up front and have your car up there and they got the cameras on you and talking about you all the time,
right.
or you can do something spectacular. And they can you're not on there as long because you don't get to do it as often.
Right.
But, you still get the sponsors on TV. But anyway, it's the better way is to definitely run up front.
Right,
so.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good deal. It really is. But, yeah, Mobile is going to be running this weekend, Mobile International. They're don't even know what all classes. I know that the trucks and Outlaws and the Bomber Sportsmen.
Not running the Modifieds.
They're not running the Modifieds.
Not running the Modifieds.
Okay.
I heard that today, I think.
Yeah, and I think the Prolake models will probably be there. But I'm not sure who else. But I know they'll have a good feel. We've been having some pretty good turnout in the classes, and it'll be a good weekend. Hopefully it won't be near as hot as it's been over the last few races we've had out there. We've been trending a little cooler, which I hate to say what we've had out there is cooler, but it's definitely been cooler than what it was last couple times.
Amen.
Out.
Yes.
So be a good weekend to come out and watch. So
there you go. Okay.
Good weekend.
Mobile International Speedway.
Yep, yep, yep.
Downtown St. Elmo, Alabama.
Yeah. Irvington, St. Elmo, somewhere in there.
One of them our places.
Yeah. But, it's a really neat facility. If you hadn't been out there and watched a race there, they put on some very good racing. It's high-speed track, 4.5-mile track that you're toting the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's amazing the difference. You know, you have people come from Pensacola and come over here and run, and technically they're close to the same size track, but the speed difference is huge.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's they come over here and say, "Whoa, this place is fast."
So, yeah,
guys that have never run over here, they're like, "This is different." you're carrying a bunch more speed through the corners and that. So it's a neat deal.
There
really
you
is.
Go. But, well, let me. If they're not gonna call,
not yet.
I'm gonna stir up some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These car warranty deals that they're advertising on TV now.
Mm-hmm.
These things are getting out of hand.
Yeah,
I'll give you an example. I know this lady that had she was in her 80s, and she had gotten one of these car policies on her Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she was paying them monthly. I think it's, probably $25, $30 a month. Well, how long has it been back? Over a year ago when we had the real bad storm and blow down a lot of trees and stuff in the Mobile areas. Was it Sally?
Sally, a little over a year ago, yeah.
Well, Sally blowed a tree down. It glanced off of her house and hit her car,
mm-hmm.
smashed it.
Yeah.
Well, it totaled the car. So she had called and told them that she didn't have her car anymore because they totaled the car. Okay, we'll take care of it. Well, it was an automatic withdrawal on her bank account.
Right.
So they have been – she's got dementia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been withdrawing money for this whole period of time.
Yeah.
So they she got into a little bit of sickness problem there, and the executor of her estate was checking her bank account and found it on there. They were still paying it.
All right.
So he called and told him had been called and reported over a year ago. Oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry.
Yeah.
We'll take care of this. So a week later, they get a call from a collection agency from this outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told then, look, you're not going to get any more money.
Right.
So, the policy was canceled. And, we have a collection thing here that says that she still owes this.
Yeah.
Well, there's no need of calling here. Oh, we're going to call you. We're going to call you every day. Says there's no need of calling, you know. The policy has been canceled, and we're still going to call you every day. I'm going like, can I get my hands on these people?
Right.
If it had been some of my family or somebody, you know, come on.
Right. I suggest you come over here and talk to me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know these little things, these little necklaces, guys and gals, that they got around their necks,
mm-hmm.
and that you can push when I'm falling and I can't get up?
Right. Right.
Well, when they get ready to stop payment on that, you have to send that necklace back.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're going to charge you for it. So, you know, you need to check into some of these things with some of your elderly people.
Right.
They're being ripped off because they know how people get worried about all that kind of stuff. It's unbelievable.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
And there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, we were talking a little bit about these... fly-by-night insurance/warranty companies, you know. Got to be careful. Read the fine print.
Right, right.
You know, these things, and I see so many of them that people have bought,
mm-hmm.
and they bring them in, and they just do everything they can to turn it down.
Right.
You know.
And they authorize you to tear stuff down. And to check it to see if there's something wrong, and then they decline it, and they won't pay for your teardown.
Right. Well, that's the thing is they don't authorize it. They tell you, say if you bring your car into us, and we say, okay, it's got a camshaft problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you got to tear it down to point of failure, which you pull the head off, get lifters out of it, get camshaft out of it, whatever you got to do to get down there to show them, okay, here's
right.
the problem.
Okay.
And they tell you, okay, the customer has to approve the teardown, okay? Mm. And what you get into is that, okay, the customer approves the teardown, and then they deny the claim, and the customer's on the hook for a teardown. They got a car that's tore apart. It no longer runs at all.
Right.
Where it may have just been making noise or tapping before. Mm-hmm. Now it no longer runs at all, and you got to pay for the teardown, and you still ain't getting your car fixed.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. I mean, it's and as a business, we're going to require a lot of times we'll require a down payment the teardown because believe me, we've been stuck with cars before that we did the work, labor tearing it down. The warranty company declines it. Customer says, well, I don't have the money to fix it, and they just leave the car. The car ain't worth nothing to us. We don't want it. It's...
No, not in the salvage business.
No. It just cost us money to get rid of them at that point. Plus, we've already paid a technician. We had to pay advisor. Basically, it was a repair.
Right.
Or a, labor expense.
You were halfway there.
Yeah, we were halfway there.
Right.
So, it's a bad deal for everybody, and you feel for them, but, it's, we can't get on the hook for it, for sure.
Now, there are some of these warranty policies that are great if they're purchased in the right place from the right people. Now, if you go to a dealership and you buy a new car, you have the prerogative of buying an extended warranty.
Well, and we sell, not exclusively, but primarily Ally products. They sell a very good product. The coverage.
That's the name of the insurance?
Yeah.
Ally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ally. Yeah. It's Ally Bank. It's Ally, they do.
A-L-L-Y.
A-L-L-Y.
Okay.
And they sponsor Alex Bowman's car, NASCAR, right, and all NASCAR, that. But, yeah. It's like the old General Motors protection policy.
Right.
Basically, they've kind of taken over a similar thing. It's not related, but it's very similar. But it's very good coverage. Most of the time it's zero deductible. If it has a deductible, it's a low deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what policy you bought, it covers most things. I mean, this no policy covers everything,
right,
but
right.
It covers the majority of the stuff, your electronics and that kind of thing, and mechanical failures. There's very little. Every once in a while, they'll send an adjuster out to look at it just to see, just to kind of check up on us, I guess, more than anything else. But it's usually not a problem. They come out, look at it, show them what we found.
There you go.
And they move on.
And if you have a dealership that sells you a warranty policy on a used car,
mm-hmm.
I would think that those down, I know you go back 10, 15, 20 years with that type of process.
Yeah.
Those are usually good policies.
And they're good policies.
Yeah.
And there's even in-house stuff from the dealer itself, that they may give you a 30-day warranty or a 90-day warranty or something with the vehicle, depending on, and they'll just do like in-house warranty on it.
Well, another thing is another area that I've seen that works real well is your credit companies, credit unions, where a lot of your home is through that or your mm-hmm. car is bought through that. They'll have access to a warranty company as well.
Right.
On your car that you can, and if they go to stand by it, then, it's got to be good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially the people that have your car financed are going to want it, and they're going to want to keep it running.
Sure.
Because you're not going to pay for it if you can't
ride it. No, want you to pay for it, then burn it, I don't know why.
Yep. Yeah, it's
But, and that's true, but the thing mm-hmm. where I'm going with this is you see all of these highfalutin, high-powered stars, as we call them, with the little ditties in the front and the ditties in the back of their name, stars.
Right.
They get paid good money to just run their job for 30 seconds or a minute.
Right, right.
If you're getting it off of TV like that, you don't need it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know. It's, I'm not going to say all of those companies are bad, but I can't tell you which ones are.
Either, but I hadn't run into a good one yet.
Yeah. I can't tell you which ones are good, so I just stay away from that product.
Right. You stay away from it.
Yeah, I know what products we use and what, the experience that we've had with them.
Yeah, you've been here, 40 years or,
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've seen everything. You've worked every phase of automotive mm-hmm. cars, You've been everything except sales manager, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, and it's just like the old General Motors Protection Policy, what they call the GMPP policy. I love seeing a car come in with that.
Yeah. Right.
Because there was no question. We were going to, if we found something wrong with it and needed it, we were going to do it.
Yes, fix it.
It wasn't a matter of selling it. It was just time to fix it.
Because they're going to pay for it.
I mean, there's no questions asked, you can't abuse it, but, if it needs a repair, it needs a repair.
Right.
So
there's another one. Some of these home policies are the same way. Some of these mm-hmm. high-powered they even calling you at home now to, try to sell you those policies. And you'll find that most of them, they're going to charge, you got to pay the $75 or $100 service call.
Right.
And then that guy is going to determine whether or not they're going to fix your appliance or whatever it is. And you're going to find sometimes that they'll just patch it and get out of there.
Right, right. Well, if they can possibly make it run another week or two, they're going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they'll $75 you to death until you decide to go ahead and do it.
I've seen a real cluster of some of those things, too. So got to be real careful when you go to these mm-hmm. warranties on stuff like that today is a necessity.
Right.
But you have to be extremely careful on what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, even I guess you could, some of it is probably in the Consumer's Report. Get on the internet, see what they say, and check with your Better Business Bureau. see what kind of complaints are against these people before you spend your money. We work too damn hard for our money. We don't need to be throwing it away. I was going to say another word, but I can't say that. I'd like to sit it.
Yeah.
And Philip didn't have his hand on the bleep button, so I couldn't say it.
Right. But, you know, it's, of course, it doesn't matter what company you got. There's always going to be somebody that's not going to be happy.
Right.
And you know.
Well, some of us, you just can't satisfy, baby. I mean,
well,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, you may have someone that had a repair done to, we'll call it an air conditioning system, okay? You may have put a component on it 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
All right? Well, something on the AC system, but another component.
Right.
You know, they both may have.
Oh, it was the part you put on. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean.
The part you put on caused that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our parts warranty on, you know, is 2 years. Okay.
Right.
And there's not any leeway with that. It's 2 years on the parts warranty. And, you know, and if you come in 2 years and a month down the road different component is failed.
Right.
Then.
And it caused that component could have caused that.
Well, no.
To go bad too.
Well, I mean, 2 years ago.
Right.
And it hadn't failed up to this point. Then all of a sudden it springs a leak somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that ain't got nothing to do with what you did 2 years ago.
Well, okay? Yeah.
You know, so
what if you put an evaporator and condenser on the car,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and 2 years later the compressor goes bad and fills those two units up with powdered metal and shuts and blocks the passageways in it, and not only does it ruin the compressor, but it ruins both of those units that you already put on there.
Right. Well, and that's
they're not going to want to warranty that.
They're not going to warranty it because that's not. That component didn't fail.
That
component
didn't go
got
bad.
Damaged from another component.
Right.
So, you know, and you know, some people just don't understand
that's
that.
That's hard to explain to a customer, though.
Well, yeah. So it's, you know,
you're going to
have some that aren't
going to
be happy. But it's, yeah, I'm sorry. All you can do is what you can do, you know. But anyway, it's, you know, the warranty policies are great. They do a good thing. But be careful where you buy it from. And because I've just seen too many policies that, and even read what the coverage is, because you may be paying exactly what their total coverage would their liability would
be.
If everything broke on your car,
mm-hmm.
they would pay out everything that you gave them, you know, but nothing over and above. So, you know, and even what you paid them would not complete a repair on.
Mm-hmm.
The motor or the transmission or the rear end.
Right.
You know, but you got to have all three of those things break to even get close to getting your money back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. You know, you just mentioned Competition Head Service, and we were listening to his commercial there online. But looks like we got a caller just called in. Let's see what the caller needs. Caller, you with us?
Hello.
Hey, what can we do for you? Hello, you there?
Hello, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. What year did they start making turbochargers, and what cars did they put them in? What car company started doing turbocharged?
Oh, I'm sure it was before this, but the first American car company, I think, did it back in about 63 or 4 with the Oldsmobile.
Mm-hmm.
There was their turbo jet or something they called it. I don't remember exactly. It was a little aluminum V8 motor that they put a turbo on. Only lasted a couple of years, so it's a pretty rare little piece. But their turbos have been around since aircraft days. But it's a good piece, and it's really where most of the cars have gone nowadays. We run turbos on a lot of our little cars. Mm-hmm. And some of our smaller motors, they really wake them up and bring some good power out of some smaller power plants.
How can you tell if the turbocharge is bad?
Well, there's a couple things. One thing is if it's dumping smoke out the tailpipe, it's probably got a seal bad. Most of the time, it's going to be a boost problem. Normally, if you stay on top of your maintenance, we don't have much seal failure anymore. We really don't have much turbo problems anymore. The bearings stay pretty good. We don't have a whole lot of issues. A lot of our stuff will even make close to 30 pounds of boost, so it's they've come a long way. Turbos were issues in the past, but
back in the days of the mineral based motor oil,
right?
Heat they couldn't handle the heat of a turbo, where the synthetic oil now can handle the heat, so you're not destroying the turbos by improperly cooling them with your lubricants.
Right. The biggest problem I see with turbo systems nowadays is not necessarily the turbo itself. It's actually with the intercooler, with the packages, the way the motors are packaged in the car and the cooling systems. The intercooler, which is the charge air cooler, is mounted very low in the front of the car. Mm-hmm. And pulling up to a curb too close, hitting speed bumps, if you bottom out on something like that, you can do some damage pretty quick to an intercooler. So just got to be careful with that. But other than that, really don't have much trouble with them, to be honest with you.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate y'all.
All right, thank you for listening.
Yes, sir.
But, there's most of our little motors nowadays, and they're even talking, already next year our motor lineup for our trucks is going to be different. Instead of having a V6 motor as one of the lower-end options, they're going to make it our 2.7 four-cylinder turbo is going to be the base motor for the truck, which still makes 300 horsepower and over 300 foot-pounds torque. The next step up, they're talking about, and won't hold me to this, but they're talking about doing away with the 5.3 motor and having the 6.2, and the only other motor would be, in our half-ton stuff, would be the 3-liter inline diesel. So
awesome. Okay.
So it's they're kind of narrowing down on the motor packages.
They don't need 15 or 20 different type motors.
They don't. They really don't. If you got to have a gas burner, the 6.2 and the turbo diesel make about the same power,
mm-hmm,
torque wise.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the diesel way better fuel economy. Mm-hmm. When it comes to towing, it's better.
Oh, they're bulletproof, too.
They're tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Half a million miles or whatever.
Yeah,
Yep. So. The old days of getting 100,000 miles on a vehicle, that's all gone now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't get 250, 300, 400,000 miles on one, you ain't got the goodies out of it yet.
Right. It's amazing how often we see one that's got over 200,000 miles on it.
Sure, yeah.
It's pretty regular. I see people
selling them every day now. It's only got 180, 225,000 miles on it. It's good for another 100.
Right, right. Yeah, it's crazy. Some of the full-size SUVs with 200,000 miles on, they're still selling for $10,000,
$15,000. Oh, heck yeah.
But it's, sometimes more. But it really is crazy. But and that being said, and we were talking about competition head service, Dewey Miller over there on Butler Drive off Government Boulevard, one of our sponsors. if you have a car that has that kind of miles on it, and then it gets to the point where you need to have a rebuild or repair on the motor, you know, he's one of the guys that can
right,
do it.
Right.
You know, they do some excellent work. Still knows the ins and outs of the performance end of it as well if you're doing some hot rod stuff. And you're, you know, a lot of the, I know I'm probably not supposed to say this, but if you're, you know, wanting to do away with some of the factory options on some of the motors,
that?
The displacement on demand, that kind of stuff, you know, there's some things that have to be done with the motor as well as turning it off in the computer, but they can do the motor part of it. That really just takes one more thing out of what can go wrong, you know. So, they can extend the life of that vehicle. And the car itself, if you take care of it, I've seen cars with 300,000 and 400,000 miles on them that
sure.
You get in, you swear it has less than 100,000 miles.
Right.
You know, so just if you take care of them, yeah, they'll take care of you. You know?
Well, it goes back to proper maintenance, you know.
Well, and
care of the stuff and You got to properly maintain them so that you don't run them hot.
Right.
Or you don't run them low on oil, or you don't run them too long on bad oil,
mm-hmm.
and start breaking down the inner components and things, you know?
Right. The, and even care, I mean, I'm even talking about the care for the inside of the vehicle, care for the outside of the vehicle. You know, keep it clean, keep it waxed, keep the inside clean and the leather seats condition,
right.
That kind of thing. If you'll do those simple steps, your vehicle will look and drive and act way better for way longer.
Right, yeah. Right.
I've seen vehicles that had 20,000 miles on that I wouldn't hardly step in.
And
I've been in vehicles that, like I say, had 300,000 or 400,000 miles on them that, you know,
didn't
it looks like a brand new vehicle almost. So.
Well, another thing, too, with Dewey over there, is that now that our speed merchant, Bob Karcher, is gone, if you need a camshaft and some of those timing components or something like that, if you're changing them
right.
in one of your older cars, Dewey has access to that. He actually has a cam grinder
mm-hmm.
machine. He has ground cams for years and years and years.
Right.
He used to grind our little race car cams.
Right.
And did an excellent job of it, man. I mean, mm-hmm. we could spank some butt with them.
Oh, no doubt.
But, so, you know, if you have got a mechanical problems with your motor, not for a servicing the motor, but any kind of – if you got to take a cylinder head off or, you know, something like that, and get it over to Dewey and let him take care of it for you.
Right, right. He can definitely take care of that. We got Michelle sending in a little message here. Are turbos still a maintenance item after 100,000 miles? And no, there's no maintenance extra for a turbo. It's just more important that you do your maintenance properly and you use the proper fluids. They are using synthetic oils in most all of our turboed vehicles now. Actually, all of our vehicles are synthetic.
They're cooled. The turbo's cooled with the engine oil, isn't it?
Well, they're cooled and lubricated with the engine oil, as well as they're cooled with coolant a lot of times as well. You got to control the temperature of the boost as well. That's where your intercooler comes from. They generate a lot of heat.
Right.
Because first off, they're driven by the exhaust, which generates a ton of heat.
Oh, yeah. They're coming from exhaust. I mean, that's hot anyway.
Right. I mean, if you're wide open throttle, it can be 1,300, 1,400 degrees coming
sure.
out of the exhaust.
Sure.
You know, and it's sitting there spinning that turbo, and it's right next to – it's connected to the piece that's boosting the intake charge, and you need the intake charge as cold as possible. So that's where the charge air cooler, the intercooler comes from. Yeah, so it comes from the turbo down through the intercooler, back plumbed back up to the motor and goes into the
That being
intake.
Said, does that mean that we should be worried more about changing our coolant in our cars? How do we stand on that now?
No, they're pretty happy with their their schedule. I mean, we're still close to 150,000 miles on coolant. So
before you have to change
before it? Before you have to change it. So
that's unbelievable.
We have very little cooling system problems.
Are we still at 100,000 miles on changing plugs?
Most cars. Not all, but most cars, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people go well beyond that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you what, the plugs we have nowadays, they're way different than what we used to have.
They sure are, aren't they? Yeah. They're not the dollar and a quarter plugs we used to have back in the 70s, 60s and 70s.
Yeah, you don't want to have to buy these all the time anyway.
No, no.
But it's
They're platinum, whatever, you know.
Yeah, they do a good job. They hang in there, do well. We don't have to change them near as often, but it's when it's due, it is due. You know, they're platinum plugs. You pull them out, look at them, and they're not burn away like conventional plugs look like. I mean, you used to look at an old conventional plug, and it used to have a square electrode coming off and the electrode come across the top of it. Both of those would be burn away.
Oh, yeah, I'll be gone.
And, I mean, I've seen plugs that started out at 45,000 gap be over 100,000 gap in them, you know, just from wear.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it'd just be amazed that they still ran.
That's the reason I was wondering, you know, if we need to worry about that anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on most occasions, first tune-up or first checking of plugs is somewhere around 100,000 miles on most all the vehicles.
Yeah, and that's pretty common on all of our stuff now. And most manufacturers are kind of in that same boat. They don't, it just doesn't need it before then. So they've worked hard at trying to keep the scheduled maintenance to under control, on all the vehicles, because, they do understand that it's not only a selling point, but it's an expense to the customer.
Well, heck yeah. What about our hoses and upper and lower radiator hose and heater hoses? I guess we can talk about that when we come back, huh?
You don't have to touch them either.
Really?
It's still 150,000 miles or so in that on those. You know, it's not uncommon for them to go life of the vehicle. So,
darn.
But we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Daddy made a whiskey. Son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road. Thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road. Thunder was his engine, and white lightning.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, we were, we talked about Dewey Miller there a little bit, but... one of our other sponsors and my employer, UJ Chevrolet, been around a long time, and I like to think we do things a little better than most companies. And I'm going to have to say either, we got to be doing something a little different just for the simple fact that there's times when, say, if we have a product that we don't sell, the car, and it's off our used car lot, we got to send it somewhere and get worked on. They're talking 12 week lead time before they'll work on it.
Right.
Yeah. And one we talked to today, it was like, well, it's going to be 8 hours minimum, and it's going to be 12 weeks before we can work on it.
Woo.
And I mean, they don't know if they're going to find this problem in 5 minutes or, a week and
holy
a half.
Holy cow.
But, it's like, how can you look at people and say, it's going to be 12 weeks, and you're going to be at $1,600, $1,500 close to, before you even open the door?
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I got a problem with that.
But, I have too.
But we do have a couple callers online. Caller, are you with us? Yep. Lost one. Let's see if we got the other one.
We got Blake on.
Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, I got you.
Okay, you got me. Okay. I saw a turbo on create Rampage years ago.
A Rampage, you said?
Graham, G-R-A-M-P-A-G-E.
Graham Page.
1938.
Oh, 1938. Okay, yeah. I know they've been around a long time. You know, as far as the first one, that I'd have to play on the internet a little bit, see where
what
where
the hell was
from.
A Graham Page?
Yeah, yeah, that was stumped.
Just one of the expired old brands of cars.
Yep.
Damn.
And it was a kind of more streamlined car, 1938, about the time for the design.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I was looking for an old car to buy at the time, but now what I've heard about how rare the turbo is, that was probably a good one to got.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, of course, the only problem with something a car like that is they're extremely rare, which makes them worth a lot of money. Unfortunately, it also makes them very expensive to restore.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a 1935 Plymouth PJ sedan.
Yeah.
A what? Plymouth what?
Two-door sedan, 1935 Plymouth PJ sedan.
Yeah.
It's got the two full seats in it, bench seats.
Yes, it's set up just like a VW, the Nazi set up the VW the same year, but it's got the two seats. It leaned forward. You got your back seat, and but it's a two-door sedan. And the old fellow I bought it from bragged that passed to somebody at 90 miles an hour in.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. Is it drivable? Do you get it out to show it or what?
Oh, I haven't. No, it's not right now. I've let it sit up too long. I've got it's sitting here to be restored. And I got to get a main tennis it on to the next generation. But, yeah, I've got the 35. It's got the two-door sedan. And also, it said it got 30 miles per gallon. Now, it's got a 1950 Plymouth engine in it, which is a last-year Bush replacement.
Right. Yeah. Make a neat car. Be a good one to restore, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That would
mm-hmm.
be sure.
But I've had it since about 67. And I have never seen another one exactly like it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can go online and you can see some, but it's the PJ sedan. You got to count how many springs on the front and a bunch of other stuff like that to exactly figure out which one of those it was.
Yeah, right.
What's a car like that worth like it's sitting?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Actually, some of them are not worth all that much. You're surprised sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, just whatever you can haggle it for.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the person is buying thinks it's worth, huh?
Yeah.
Right. And usually run across them sitting up in a barn, they think they're worth, you know, $100,000. But, you know, just sometimes good Lord will open something. And I've been more busy with boats than cars. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's one of my projects sitting aside right now. I need to get it going because if we had an EMP on it, and there's not really anything else electrical to it, and the old radio and the light.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's that'd be your doomsday car because there's not much to go wrong. Points condenser and keep fuel in it.
30 miles per gallon and 9 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm sure that was probably a white knuckle ride, though.
So. Oh yeah.
So. But it's a whole lot heavier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. No doubt. So.
Well, are you in Mobile County?
Yeah, I'm in Mobile. Uh huh.
Okay. All right. What part of town are you in?
I'm on the north end of town.
On north end. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you sit down here on the south side or west side, anywhere, I'd take the time to come look at that car.
Well, I really kind of wanted to hold on to it. I've had it so long, and it's kind of one of those things that I've got to get it aside and try to get a little bit of money while I go ahead and get something started done with it. Right now, it's sitting there running if I don't get a move on it.
So, yeah.
Is it inside?
It is not inside. Okay. That's what I've got to do.
Yeah.
I've got to get it properly covered and preserved. So I had it for many years like that. And anyhow, I've got to recover it and repair it this month.
Right. Okay, buddy.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Get on that project. Don't let it go to waste, that's for sure. But
Right. Well, I got that, and I got some boats I'm working on too, so I'm going too many directions. But anyway, that one, I think because of it right now, would be a very important thing to have. So,
yep.
Because the way they're going on everything, just one thing after another, they're pulling out from under us.
Right. They sure are. Yeah. I thought it was real cool. I saw something a while ago on, I guess it was on the internet. The guy had his little electric car out there, and he had it plugged into a line, charging the battery and all on it. Oh, I just love my electric car. Look at how I'm saving all this CO2. And it shows the power lines running back to the big coal plant over there producing the damn electricity.
Well, see, again, this thing is to take us down. They've got their plan, and this is also what's scary. You know, they've had major food processing plants burning usually on Thursday.
Right.
They're forcing the farmers to fly under a lot of stuff. They're not letting the farmers get the nitrates.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on there, but you know they're intent. They've got a thing they want to do this carbon sequestering. They got the people basically plowing and doing the land, but no food's being produced.
Right.
They're paying them to do that.
Right. That
so
is,
you got to see the handwriting on the wall and see what's going on. This is all population reduction. Years ago, I ran across at a garage sale. It was the company, it was an organization right before Planned Parenthood. It was a 1913-1915 booklet. It was with Sanger's 1920 book on eugenics, breeding, and super rates. But their goals in that 1913-1915 booklet were birth control, sterilization, abortion, euthanasia, get out of hell, and infirm, promote homosexuality, break up the family, and of course, blacks and browns are breeding like vermin.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Buddy, I appreciate you calling in, but we're coming up to the end here, and we're running out of time tonight. But I still got a couple of people I got to answer before we get out of here.
Okay.
But I do appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Caller, you with us?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Kevin, how you doing? Just wanted to call
bud.
Right at the end of the show, say hey to you and Mr. Tom, see how y'all doing.
All right. How you doing out there?
Oh, man, we just trying to, you know, keep one oar in the water and keep paddling. You know how it is. Same as you guys. Empty car lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we only have one oar, so it's going in circles. Yeah.
I just got off and just wanted to say hey to you guys and talk to you in a little while. I hope y'all doing well and all the families well, too.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, brother. Appreciate you shouting out at us.
Y'all take care.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. We also have a text here from Ryan. I have a 2012 Nissan Maxima with 230,000 miles on it and a blown head gasket. Is it worth fixing? Problem is that's kind of a trick question. If everything else on the car is well maintained, the car looks good, transmission is good, yes. But I don't know that I'd just put a head gasket on it. I would probably try and find a used or rebuilt motor to put in it and go that direction. But if the car needs tires, needs brakes, needs front end work, transmission maybe weak, the paint's not good, the interior's bad, then I'd say no. You know, so it really depends on how the rest of the car has been maintained for sure. But anyway, I know we're rushing up here, but it sounds like we've come up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. And I will be back next week.
Yep, and we pray the good Lord be here in one piece. And,
that's playing anyway.
To all of our veterans and first responders out there, thank you for what you do. Hoorah.
I said that old song sure does fit.